Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it's a privilege to be here at Western Hills Baptist Church. It's a thrill of mine to be able to share the Word of God. It's an excitement to me. It's not something I get anxious or nervous about. It's a thrill to be able to allow God to work in my life through His Word and to just channel that and just share. I'm just like a poor beggar showing you where the bread is. So if you're hungry and you want it, you could take it. It is the Word of God we're going to share this evening, so I do expect it to do what the Word says. It says a hammer, and it may strike the hard heart, and that's purpose-filled. It may send that conviction. It may pierce and cut as the sword that it's spoken of. And God has a purpose in all that. And we would expect, if the Word of God is communicated clearly in a way that one could understand it and receive it, that it would do just that. So I'd also expect that if the hammer doesn't strike, if the sword doesn't pierce and cut, if the fire doesn't stir and burn, then the Word of God possibly wasn't shared. So our desire here at Western Hills always is to lift the Word of God and exalt it. We're grateful for a pastor who's been called, a wife, his family, who do strive to know what is right, to do what is right, and to share and to minister and to be shepherds over the flock of God. And what a joy it is to have the gift of God, Pastor Moore. And not just him, but the prior pastor who had started this ministry, and how God had worked, and how we can see in not just one man's life, but many men's life, and how God operates. And we're grateful for that. We're thrilled for Brother Hardesty, for their family. We're grateful for the family that has remained. We're prayerful for those and their influence to have continued on, and we look forward to the great things that God's going to do. As you've seen in the bulletin, as we've prepared it and made it available to you, we're in James 1:1, servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll get there in a moment. But I know some of you have kind of dove into it, got into the Word, just thought and meditation as one would naturally do, and maybe would assume the message of tonight, which it should be clear. We shouldn't be long. We should be short if everyone gets the message, which I'm sure they will, because most are servants here. And the concept will be shared very simply and briefly. And Lord willing, we'll have a short time to where we're actually going to pray again, unless Pastor hinders that, which I doubt he would. And along that, we're going to thank God for him and his family. We're going to pray for him and his family. We're going to pray for God to lead and direct and bringing an associate in their family. We believe he is open and leading in that area. But if not this family, we believe there would be one suitable for such a time as this. And perhaps there'll be some other needs that will be mentioned if someone is stirred enough to mention that we could lift up the burden and convey to God our needs, and he can justly do accordingly as he sees fit. So I really wanted to sing tonight, not because I'm a good singer, but I like to sing. But I haven't got a song, and I hadn't talked to Brother Gordon. We kind of had one, but we just got it. So pray that maybe we'll be able to sing that in the future, Lord willing. And secondly with that, I wanted to let you know my voice, I may sound not normal, maybe a little congested. I can't guarantee that I'm not sick, but I really don't get sick. I don't feel sick, haven't been feverish, but I do sound, there's a lot of pollen in there, a lot of wind. If you're uncomfortable with that, you can kind of keep your distance, go out in the foyer, things like that. But I do want you to know I'm aware of what I sound like. It doesn't bother me. If it doesn't bother you, we should be okay with that. Second thing is hopefully it won't come up, but I have a rib. And if I laugh, or if I take a deep breath, if I get excited, or if I cough or sneeze, I might wince in pain, look like I'm having a heart attack, something like that. I don't think I'm having a heart attack. I'm just letting you know that I have never been in this much pain in my life. So I think I'm going to be all right, but if I start wincing and grabbing right here, it's just some intense pain. Let's go ahead and get started by standing, reading the Word of God. We're just going to read one verse together. I'd like us to read aloud. We're all here at James chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to read the one verse together, and then we're going to pray. Pastor, I'm going to ask you at the concluding of the reading of that, if you would just pray again for the service and for his blessings. If we're all ready, amen?
Amen.
James 1, 1, begin. James, servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Amen. Amen. James is a wonderful epistle. I love it. I'm thrilled to be in it. I encourage you to take it. It's about 15 minutes. You can read through it. You can listen to it. I encourage you, if you aren't overly indulged in some other activity, that maybe this coming week or this month, that you'll just go through it and read it and meditate on it and try to allow God to work in your life. James didn't grow up as a believer. We understand it. For sake of time, we're not going to turn to all these scriptures. Pastor actually referenced, and we turned to it in the last service or two, Matthew chapter, was it 13, verse 55, I think. We hear about Jesus having brothers, siblings. It wasn't just a virgin Mary. She had children after that. Some people aren't aware of that. There was James, Simeon, and Jude. So what is that to say? That we believe that most will conclude that this James is the brother of Jesus Christ. On that, before we get too into the message, I kind of was stirring and thinking about being the brother of Jesus. You know, most of you have had siblings, and most of you have tried to blame a sibling or whatever the case. You could just imagine the things that stir. And I could just imagine, you know, them looking at James and, what's wrong with you? You know, can't you be more like Jesus? And maybe one day James came, you know, he's like, I was having a hard time and, you know, life and struggles and I don't know what to do. And I just picture Mary kind of rolling up her sleeve and pointing to the bracelet. What would Jesus do? You know, I mean, how do you rectify that? So I could see James maybe not really believing, like, you know, you don't believe everything your brother says, but like, is this really the Messiah? And they're trying to say, you know, like, he doesn't do wrong. And you're like, well, we do wrong. That's our brother. But you see him and he's like perfect. You know, he doesn't lie, he doesn't steal, he doesn't take an extra chicken leg off the table. He just does right in the sight of God and man, and he grows in the stature thereof. But I could imagine the struggle that James maybe had faced as a young person growing up around perfection and just being told by his mom, you know, the message of the angel and like, look, your brother's really a big deal and you just need to like get with it. You think of, Joseph, and he's telling his brothers that they're going to bow to him and all of this, and it just doesn't go over too well, you know. So I don't think maybe James cared a lot for his brother, Jesus Christ. I understand a lot of the world doesn't care about Jesus Christ. Why did maybe James have some conflict with that? I don't know, because he was a sinner. We're sinners. Why do we have conflict with that? Obviously. So just a little backdrop on James. He didn't grow up in the way many believe that he came to be saved at a later time after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because there was a time where, we might turn to it. No, we're not. There's not a lot of time. So you know the Bible. If you don't, you can read it. It's simple and clear and plain. But well, now I kind of lost you guys because I lost me, so I know I lost you. I'm not going to walk back over there because I walked over here. Maybe we'll move on to another point where we are there. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. The message is being conveyed to those. We've heard past messages recently by Pastor. Others have brought it up. There's persecution. The church is being scattered. What's being happened? God's work's being done behind the scenes. What does that mean? That's like Olive's mom being in the situation she's in now. That's God working behind the scenes. What is God always doing? He's at the door knocking. He's not compelling. He's not a bulldozer. He's right there knocking and asking for it to be opened up. He's not pushing his will. He'll never overstep into your will. He'll let you step right into hell because he's not going to overpower your will. He's giving you that opportunity. If you're in the room tonight and you haven't accepted this, he's not going to force you into heaven. He's going to share with you what he's already shared, his word, his truth, his examples, his illustrations, those loved ones in your life. And he's going to do everything he can behind the scenes to compel you, to give you opportunity, but he will not force you into heaven. So this is a decision that we can hold fast to. They were scattered abroad because of the persecution. There was things that were coming about that many didn't understand. But what James came to understand, that Jesus Christ was who he said he was, as he heard those stories, as he grew up and he lived the life alongside him, he came to realize that all this was true. You may be here tonight, you may have heard all these stories, and you may come to a point where you realize these things are true. You may come to a point where you're under conviction because of things that you've heard that are true. You may or may not respond to these things. James came to a point where he responded, and he responded in a great way. Says James, a servant of God. He could have started the letter out as such, James, the brother of Jesus. That's what a lot would do. You say, no, they wouldn't. Most would name drop. Most would say, the book of Acts clearly tells us that James was the leader of the church in Jerusalem. We're not going to go there, but this is what we're aware of. So, rather than saying, James, the brother of Jesus Christ, James, the leader of the church at Jerusalem, he said, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Very, very different mindset than of the world. Well, what is that to do with? Well, this message is about being a servant. Well, why would we want to be a servant? You know, in movies, in Hollywood, it's all about being the top figure, you know. You say maybe me, for instance. Some of you may or may not know, I own a business. It wasn't given to me. It wasn't inherited. I seen a need, and I strove and labored and toiled and sought God's direction. And we created value in a marketplace to where we're desired, our services are desired, to where we can be selective about where we go and don't go and things of that sort. But the world would say for me to bring myself up, to allow all of that just to, like a hot air balloon, just raise me up. And that's typically what the world will do. But for one, starting it from nothing, knowing everything that it inquires, understanding that it requires a servitude mindset for it to be successful, and to be an example, then I must be a servant. I must illuminate those things that are of necessity to be beneficial for us to succeed. So I, as a business person, understand that being successful is about being a servant. If you're in the room today and you're young and you're seeing things in the screen and brills and pills and toils and bills and all of that, and you just think it's about being up here, it's not. It really isn't, but you see it, and I know you feel it, and it pulls at your heart, and you say, I have an appetite for that. I kind of want some of that. The thing with that is it's of the world, and the world is enmity with God. So if you're clinging to that of the world, you're going to be pulled away from that which is of God. The way up is down. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall exalt thee in due time. We've seen this in everyone's life who's been used by God. Everyone was, they say, a minister. Joshua was a minister to Moses. Elisha was a minister to Elijah. Those who ministered and were servants were used by God. God uses and he sends those who are servants. And we may have time to see some of that in the scripture. What we are going to do is turn to John 13. We're going to go to verse 12. We're going to read through verse 17. This is a familiar passage of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. I'm confident many of us in the room are familiar with it. As you're turning there, just an illustration of, you've been to a fine, elegant restaurant, which I don't suggest, but if you are, they'll charge you more for this part than the food, or it seems that way because the food's not that good, but that towel sure looks fancy. And if it's really fancy, there's a guy in the bathroom. It confused me too. I didn't know, and I think he wanted a tip too for the, whatever he was doing, but he had that, but it does picture servant, you know? We picture the butler and the extravagant property and all the servants lined up, and they're all prepared visually. As one prepared to what? To serve, to care for the needs, the things that need to be taken care of. Here we have Jesus not just telling, but actually giving a living example. Verses 12, that's John 13, 12 through 17. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an, what's that? Who gave it to us?
Jesus.
That ye should, what? Do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. So I'm not going to wash anybody's feet here, but just simply, you know, this is my brother. Jesus came, he prepared. I'm assuming it was something like this. He got down with a bowl and he washed the feet. And not feet like we have today with shoes, but bare feet. And it would be kind of like, I've been in the garden the last week, probably where the allergies came from. And just the dust in the air, but when you dig in the dirt and the soil and it kind of gets in between, you know, imagine the toes, and then there's like kind of, it's almost like layers of dirt, and just naturally over the course of the day as you're walking about and water may get on it or other things and things that may be dirty and distasteful. What is pictured is something that's not just rinsed off. And the beauty of it, as I see it, is the actually cleanliness of the feet, and get this, them actually being beautiful from the imagery of filth. And the Word of God says, beautiful are the feet shod with the what? Preparation of the gospel. That just through meditation, the Lord kind of gave that, and I thought, what a unique thing. What a unique thing, and how they can go cohesively together. Are we willing to do these things? Are we willing to make our brothers and sisters look beautiful? Not to say cover their sin or things of that nature, but what does the Bible say? To cover a multitude of sins? Something along those lines, to have compassion on one another, to be able to do for another that they couldn't do for themselves, to see a brother or sister in need and to compassionately allow God to use you in a way that would bring about something beneficial in their life, some spiritual growth perhaps, perhaps a temporal need met. But the understanding of being able to accommodate one in the sense of humility, not pride, humbling oneself. Philippians 2, if you would turn there, verses 1 through 11. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11. I'm just going to begin reading. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, verse 2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem each other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus. Who, get this, being verse 6. Chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a what? And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That looks like the way up is down. And we understand it very plainly and clearly. But we also are proud. And we know pride goes before a fall. But there's no denying that we struggle with this. And what did Pastor just said? Remember these things. This is something we should remember in the midst of our struggle in that area. Christ gave us clearly an example. He communicated this through his life and ministry. He compelled those who were closest to him to exemplify this, to implement it, to duplicate it, to strive to live this way. And this also could be brought right down into where we are today, and the simplicity of being a servant, doing things that a servant would do, having a mindset of a servant. I know this about a servant. They're not trying to do their own thing. That's not in here, but that's just something like you guys should be aware of. If you're not, a servant's not going to do their own thing. That would be the total opposite. The total opposite. And what thing are we to be doing? And we know this. So we do struggle with this and we wrestle with this because we're not always living according to this. And it's not that we're to be perfect, but we are to strive to know what is right, to strive to do what is right. And we all desire that. We believe that this is true. Quickly turn over to... No, we're here actually. Let's just stay right here. This is Paul. We'll just continue on. Philippians 2, we're going to be at verse 12. And I mentioned that God uses and calls and sends those who are servants. This is a perfect example of that. Verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." Do all things without... Wait. Verse 14. Do all things without what? Isn't that something? That God would expect us? He must, because it's in here. Now, the reason I stopped right here is because I know every one of us murmur. Some more than others. And we could, whatever we want to think and say or do, he's suggesting strongly that we do all things without murmurings and disputings. There are some professional disputers. I don't see any right now. I couldn't tell you if they're in the room, but I know everyone in here knows one. And if you don't know one, you are one. Get this, verse 15, "that ye may be blameless." Whoa. "And harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a," get this, "crooked and perverse nation." None of you live there, do you? Wicked and perverse nation? That's far away, right? No, he's trying to help us. God's not trying to complicate our lives. I might complicate it through this message, but he's not trying to complicate it. He really, really wants it to go good. He wants our life to glorify him. He wants to do what only he can do in and through our life. We're the only instrument he has to do what he's going to do. He does operate through his word and his Holy Spirit, but functionally, his church is the body that facilitates that. And that's where all the servants are. That's all of us. There's pastor's a servant, Brother Manny's a servant, Melissa's a servant in the nursery right now, Brian's a servant outside. Those that are praying are servants in here. Those that picked up and moved debris as they came in. Those who throughout the week done miraculous things that affect eternity. These are all them precious little things. But God wants to use and do and be beneficial in our life. In this perverse nation, verse 15, the end, "among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Mrs. Hattie's shirt. Be the light. Someone else had it tonight, too. There it is. Becky, amen. Amen. And before I saw him, I told somebody, be the light. Amen. Amen. In what? In this perverse, this crooked and perverse nation. Well, isn't it easier just to kind of, I mean, I'm not one of them, but I just go along a little bit, you know? I don't need to go against the grain, do I? You don't want me to like not get promoted, do you? You don't want me to lose my job, do you? You don't want me to have uncomfortable conversations around the holidays with my family and loved ones, do you? He does want us to be a light in a crooked and perverse world. So, I mean, light getting through crooked and perverse stuff, it's going to be a little uncomfortable, like those things that I just stated. Holding forth the word of life, that's what we're doing in that. "That I may rejoice," Paul says, "in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain." Wouldn't that be something, to run in vain? That's why I don't run. "Neither labored in vain." Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. Verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus. Shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Why is this? He said, I'm going to send Timotheus to you that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Who is this guy? For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath, what's that? Served with me in the gospel. The gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a way. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Paul had someone that he could be comforted in knowing that their presence would make such a difference. What was it about them? The like-mindedness. He was a servant. And what did Jesus say? The mind of Christ, that let this mind be in you. What is the struggle? The mind doesn't want to be of Christ, does it? Do you wake up and feel like a rocket ship for Jesus? I mean, I get in the Word and listen to some music and pray, read some messages from encouraging brothers in Christ and things of that nature. I go to church, have revival, hear some preaching, someone like Brother Vaught and standing up and hyperventilating and spitting all over you. Yeah, but not always. Well, we just want it to always be that way. Well, I don't know if it can be, but I do know that serving is where it's at. I do know that when you serve, you're serving with others. You're not doing your own thing. There's something about, you know, yoking up. There's these Belgium horses. Anybody know about them? They're big, Clydesdales, things like that, draft horses, kind of famous for different things, some things they probably shouldn't be involved with, certainly things like Bud Dummer and stuff like that. But what the fact of the matter is they're very powerful. These animals, they want to work. Like, they're not lazy. One of these horses can pull, on average, up to 8,000 pounds. 8,000 pounds. Some of you can't even pull a pound. So this is crazy, though. Get this about these horses. So they're obviously, they serve. They're a powerful, powerful machine. They want to do this. You ever worked with someone that wanted to work? It's so rare. You know, like, they got sweat coming off, and they're, like, looking for something else to do. They're taking something out of your hand. They may not be able to do it better than you, but they're convinced. So they're, like, you know, pizza shop, and they're just like, all right, there you go. Spin them out, you know. But it is exciting. It is exciting. My dad is a very hard worker. There's not a lot of people that enjoy work. These creatures love it. They live for it. They're a working breed. They're bred just for this. They look beautiful, but they're just huge and smelly and sweaty and strong. So one of them, healthy, strong, mentally, it'll pull 8,000 pounds. Brother Don Sawaski just told us about that mobile home they were moving. The strongest thing that humans make pretty much is a tractor thought of. Big old could not pull that out. They were stuck. They pulled out what? He said Belgium's. I was like, yes! This is an awesome illustration. I wanted to use it for a long time. And I don't think he did it justice. So You take two of them, and what would you think they would be able to do? You think they'd do 16,000 pounds, right? Just makes sense. Eight and eight. I mean, I went to public school. 16, you know, add some zeros. Strength, muscle, multiply. It doesn't. They will pull three times the amount. Three times the amount. So what does that mean? Pastor can be the most gifted man in the world, but he can only pull 8,000 pounds. Are you getting this? 8,000 pounds. This isn't taking anything from pastor, but if me and Brother Eduardo, Eddie here, not Eduardo, Brother Eddie, if we yoke up, we can now pull. We're not gifted as pastor. There's no way. You can tell by the message tonight. Not as gifted as pastor. I didn't sing a song. I just told you I was going to sing one. I didn't have a guitar. My whole family, you know. But we can pull three times the amount that he can, as gifted and miraculously as a blessed man as he is. And you say, well, I would do that if I could play the guitar and I could sing and I could pray and I could look cool and awesome and tell stories. But the way it works is unity and service to where it can multiply. Now get this. That kind of seemed like it excited you, right? Because you thought it was double and it was triple. Let's take someone like brothers. Like, let's say Cain and Elisha. They work together. Okay? If you take two Belgium horses, brothers is the best scenario, and you raise them together, and they're like-minded, and they think the same, and they have all these same tendencies and things, and this is why we're praying and seeking someone of like precious faith to be an associate here, is because the value and power of it. If you take these two Belgium horses, and you can look this up, but you just think I'm storytelling. We're talking 58,000 pounds. Two sweaty, big burly, but 58,000 pounds. It might not seem significant to you, but let's see one of you move a pound. Grab the hymnal and throw it around. And why did I share that? We're not horses. No, we're not. We're made in the image of God. And we heard testimony of what Christ said as being his people and how we ought to do it. But giving you an illustration of such, I would think if a horse could multiply its abilities on such a level, I would assume that we as God's people would be able to do the same or more so, correct? So, you know, the desire of the message is to communicate not just the thought of humility and being a servant, but really understanding the power and the ability we have, and the sense of that. No, we're not horses. We're in the ministry of reconciliating sinners to Christ. We're here to draw the net and bring those to Him. God tells us how to do this. We do it by being His humble servants. Through His Word, we can renew our minds, and we can know what is right and strive to do what is right. And we'll go back to James. We only read one verse tonight. Maybe, Lord willing, in the future we'll go through more. James is a beautiful book again. Teaches on how to rejoice through trials, how to show no partiality. What is that? Someone comes to church and they look kind of like, dressed like me. And maybe someone else kind of dressed like they live under the water canal and they haven't bathed or anything forever and they smell and taste and everything and the seat smells when they get up and leave. They should not be treated any different. There should be no different. And why am I saying that? Because that's not easy to do. That is not easy to do. When someone next to you is so distasteful that it affects your presence, it is not easy to do, but that's what it's all about. And we will have those that come in like that, and God will judge us according to how we behave with those who come. And we have had some since I've been here who have come, and the church has done amazing at treating and loving everyone equally. But it is something to be mindful of, I believe. Also, one could learn the faith is shown by deeds, how to control the tongue. Anyone have any tongue issues? God tells me that you do. So how to live wisely, how to stop coveting, America. Stop slandering. Don't brag about future plans. Advice to the rich, to be patient. Don't take oaths. The power of prayer. Help those who wander. Follow along, verse 2, chapter 1, James. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away, for the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof faileth, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he with any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen. You may say, why do we read the rest of that chapter like we were on this servant thing? I'm just trying to convey that God's here to help you. If you notice the whole rest of that chapter, James is conveying simple truth, simple principles, simple patterns to be blessed by. And he all started out simply, humbly, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we pray to all be servants of God. Let him use your life in a mighty way. Humble yourselves, be a conduit and instrument. I would like, if we wouldn't haste, if we could take 3 to 5 minutes, just again to thank God for our pastor. I would like to call on a few men to do that, to thank God for the pastor he's given us, to pray for his family, to thank God for the potential of the Stooses and if not them, another family to come, and to again pray for the Glazemans and their ministry. And the fourth thing would be just the general health of our church. Thank God for the health that He's given those who have been ill. Pray for those who are presently facing infirmities, and to pray for those who may in the near future face something. Because if you're not in a trial, you're about to be in one. So let's be mindful of that. Are there four men that would be willing to pray? I'll happily call on you, but I'm starting to call. Brother Larry, would you thank God for our pastor and pray for his family? Would Brother Kingsmore, would you thank God for the opportunity of the Stuceys coming, and if not another, and for God's will in that matter? And Brother Finley, would you pray for the health of the church and thank God for what He's done and pray for the future needs that may come up? Did I mention one other thing that I'm... And then Brother Sharon, would you thank God for the Glazemans and just pray that God would bless them as they go on their way? Pastor, would you begin and just men follow in appropriate order? Thank you.